Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Welcome to the Featured Anime Podcast. I'm your host, Jack.
And I'm Rick.
And today we are talking about my choice. If it's for my daughter, I'd even defeat a demon lord. And I'm going to say, before we even dive into anything else, I thought it was really enjoyable and I enjoyed it so much I watched it twice.
Yes, you did.
But before that, we were talking about food, our favorite types of food, how Rick is very disappointed that I am not a fan of chicken pot pie, as well as some wonderful, interesting facts about our lifestyle choices currently, mainly in the weight area. If you want to catch a part of that wider conversation, patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast, $1 a month will get you all that bonus content and more. On to the meat and potatoes, sir. If it's for my daughter, I'd even defeat a demon lord. It's a anime that came out in July 2019, ran all the way through September 2019. It's 12 episodes long. Producers for it are Genko, Hobby Japan, Zero A, BS 11, Muse Communications. Studio for it is Maho Film. It's based off of a light novel. Genres for it are fantasy and slice of life. I would probably venture to say, though, that eventually romance gets thrown in there.
Between who?
Latina and Dale.
Oh. I figured they had, well, I mean, she will be old.
Okay. And she lives for a hell of a lot longer than a normal human because she is a devil.
I just figured it'd be like a father-daughter kind of thing in perpetuity, for lack of a better phrasing. But I don't know.
I mean, it was, so to touch on it a little bit is it starts off with an adventurer just out in the woods, slaying some monsters, and then stumbling across, or this little girl basically coming to him in her basic time of need. She's like knocking on death's door. She hasn't really eaten. She's starving. She's been out in the wilderness for God knows how long. And so he decides to just take her, and Dale decides to take Latina in. And to me, it is a very beautiful and touching story of their journey together through life.
Yes. If in its simplest form, yes, I agree with that. In a more complex, I'd say thing, it's the cruelty of the world and the charity of others.
Yes.
So, I mean, there's a lot of realism, if you can even call it that, in the dynamics that go on, where you have,
yes,
people who genuinely want to help, but depending on the situation they're in, they're not able to, or they are able to, that kind of thing. It's just like, for instance, so here's where I go with that. The kids, when they meet her for the first time, they're trying to take her home, and then they're stopped in by themselves, if you will, by their own fear.
Well, it's not that they're
eventually stopped. They overcome it.
Well, it's not that they're stopped by their own fear. They're stopped because there's this adventure that's very menacing.
Yes, but by their own fear. And
I mean, like, if you looked at Sylvester too and you were like a 9-10 year old, you'd stop at fear too. You'd go, we're on the south side of town, and you and I both know what that's like where we're from.
Yeah,
you're on the south side of town. You ain't exactly gonna get out of here unscathed, most likely. But But it's not just that, right? So Dale, he is the adventurer, basically the top adventurer for the entire town that they're in. And it's not like they completely leave it untouched. They really do explain why he's there, what's going on. They backtrack on the whole mentality on it, because what they do is comment on Dale, like, you've changed, you've this, you've that, from the viewer point. From the time he's met Latina all the way through, he has always been like that. And so what they do is they show you what he was like, or they tell you or tell you a story about what it was like for him. Or they do a flashback talking about how he was before everything like that. Or you get a small glimpse as to how he actually was before he met Latina. And Latina is just this little tiny devil girl. And she's what? Six?
Yeah.
Because she's like 7 years old, because she goes to school.
Super young.
Yeah. For a couple of years, and they talk about it. And then towards the end, she says, I am almost 10. Yeah. She's like 7.
Okay. That makes sense. And I figured she was a little younger than that, because in my head, she graduated and she didn't graduate. She went to school, and that starts at 6. So I figured that she was like 4 or 5 when he first met her, you know?
Right. But it hadn't been that long for them. So they pick her up, and I'm glad that you had that mentality, because they even touch on that. Rita, one of the characters that's there with Dale, she even comments saying, oh, I thought you were like 4 from her size, how she talks.
Oh yeah. Super light, super small.
Yeah. Everything, her entire demeanor is just like, oh, she's like 4 years old. And it's like, no, that's just her normal personality. That's just who she is. And her build, unfortunately, is just like super tiny. You also understand through the story too that she is all way more mature than her age when it comes to a lot of things.
I mean, yeah, she is. And the thing that gets me isn't that she's just more mature for her age, but she picks things up really quick, and she's really smart. And it keeps being referenced on why she's no longer with the demon folk, if that makes any sense, the devil folk, you know? Yeah. And it is a sad story. It's meant to be a sad story. I know that, but it doesn't change the fact that it's sad.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I loved the world building that they did. And I loved the story that they did. And the music that honestly went with it was great. It really added to the whole ambiance. It added to the whole experience. For it, like at no point did I feel like I was pulled or yanked out of the show, out of that world, from like jarring movements or music or anything like that. Everything that was done, was done fluidly. It was with purpose, with meaning, or they didn't just reference something and then not further explain or elaborate on it a little bit later on down the line, or allude to that there is more information there for you.
True. Very true. They didn't tease
much.
That's the big thing. They didn't, well, much or at all, I think, but they didn't tease, in my opinion, what they were going to do or how it was going to happen.
Yeah. You
know? And it was good quality, in my opinion. It was really good quality. Story was solid, if a bit odd at times. But everything made sense, you know? I'm a really big fan of not just continuity, but like having a reason for it. World building, as you would put it. But world building the proper way. And I say that because we've seen some shit where it's very ham-fisted world building. Instead of here, where you don't really see what's happening off screen, but you know what's happening because they're like, oh, I wonder what this person does. And they're telling you what it does. And then they come in afterwards having done said thing. So you get a visual without actually seeing it, you know?
Yeah.
I realize it makes it sound like you're painting a picture with your words, but in all reality, that might be a thing that I could use a lot more of.
Yeah. You know? I get that. I understand that. And it's not too often that we run across shows that are like this, where it's really mellowed, really laid back, where it's not an overly complicated story, where you could just honestly just thoroughly enjoy the story for what it is without having to really delve too much into it, without having to dig into it a lot just to try and figure out what's going on. It's pretty laid out nicely for you.
Now, the thing I don't get, the title says I'd even fight the Demon Lord for you.
Right.
Did you ever get the feeling that she was the Demon Lord?
It says I'd even defeat a Demon Lord.
A. Semantics, sir. Semantics.
Oh, this is actually very important because they reference that there are seven Demon Lords. So, I mean, like, semantics is pretty important. I mean, like, given the Demon Lord that he would have to defeat, I'm sure he would, to protect her. Even if she was a Demon Lord herself, I feel like he would go and defeat another Demon Lord for her. And given the how it is, it does have comedy in it, and there are parts in there where I just found myself laughing because of how it was. Dale is like full on 100% vested in her, and he spoils her rotten.
Oh, rotten.
Hardcore. But what's great is she doesn't take that as being spoiled rotten. She doesn't take everything for granted. She wants to work. She wants to earn. She wants to learn. She's like, he buys me everything I want, but I want to be able to earn my money so that way I can buy him something. And this is even shown in one of the episodes where she works hard. She's employed by Kenneth and Rita. Kenneth is Rita's husband. And she's mm-hmm. working at the pub where they're working and living. So that way she can make some money and set it aside so that way she can buy her own things. She's just, I know he'll buy anything he wants from me. I know he'll do all this for me, but I want to have this sense of accomplishment. I want to be able to stand on my own and have him look at me with pride in his eyes. And I feel like that is a very wonderful thing to have written in there and to have her be, because they could have taken the easy way. They could have totally taken the easy way and said, yes, she is a demon child and she is spoiled rotten, and had her play the part easily and have it be that Dale just like is a blind eye, turns a blind eye to it. Oh no, she's great. She's wonderful. And she's out there blowing a whole bunch of little kids.
That took a turn.
I'm saying like they could have done that.
They could have, but I mean, like that took a turn. I usually go down, but, I mean, you're not wrong. It could have gone down that road, but I'm very glad it didn't.
Yes.
And it maintained, I would say, an air of light seriousness. And what I mean by that is light seriousness in the sense of there was never anything that was just too important. And he was, even though Dale still had his obligations, to him, it came secondary. And I have no idea why, but he was overpowered to all living hell. And he wasn't even that old. I think they said it was 19 at the time, at one point in time in the show. And I don't know. It's just,
well,
he seems too important to not really have his backstory fleshed out.
Right. Well, and they did flesh it out a little bit, and they did mention at how strong he was too. Now, granted, I don't think he's like the end all be all most powerful. We just know that he is in the area, the strongest adventurer, the best adventurer, and he is ridiculously strong. And then it also makes sense as to, and I'm glad they explained this. He was originally for his hometown where he's from. He was supposed to be the next village head, but because of certain circumstances, and I'm glad they explained those circumstances, he couldn't become the village head. And so it fell on his younger brother. And so he was bitter about it. He was angry about it. He had taken for granted that he would be the next village head. And I'm glad that they explained why, went through the process of it. And then they even said, it's like, look, I totally feel like you should be here. Why don't you just come back and everything like that? And he wholeheartedly says, I cannot. I have to be outside protecting the area because of this. And I am the only one that can do this. And you have to be the village head, to his little brother.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you're not wrong. I just, it feels like they kind of shoehorned a form of importance onto him. I'm glad they gave the backstory, but I'd have been much happier if he was just some regular Joe.
Right. Well, I feel like there's going to be more to it as it goes on, because they do.
You think season two is coming?
I hope a season two comes. don't think it's been season two
years, hasn't it?
2019, so it's been 3 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, July will be 3 years, but that doesn't mean anything. As you know, as you and I both know, Rick, that time, oh, that don't matter. It could come out with a season two 10 years down the road. It's just like, oh, finally got a season two. Unless it's No Game, No Life.
Oh, damn, dude. I was going to cough like No Game, No Life.
Right? No, but I mean, like, if anything, I feel like because they reference, like, they reference he has a second cousin that's actually, so he's probably part beast man, part beastman, because he has relatives that are that, and he references a relative that was that married into the family or something like that or whatever. So I wouldn't be surprised if that was how it turned out. And that's adds to the reason as to why he's so strong.
That makes, yeah, I could see that coming into play.
And then why he's out there. And then they also, you know, delve more into the backstory of it, of him, that where they're from. And so, like, they say, well, we're not originally from here. We're originally from some far off land. And so they have a lot of traditions and everything like that, that are older, or should I say, isekai'd into that world.
Oh, damn it. Damn it. You saw me, huh? You saw me right there, because I was going to be like, dare I say, isekai'd?
Well, when I was watching it, I was like, because he says, you know, we originally came here from this land so far long ago and everything like that. And they mention it and they talk, and it's like they don't really state why or anything like that. It's just like really unusual that this particular group of people are here and that they have a long lineage of this and everything like that. It's just like, wonder if they decide to allude that someone was summoned a long time ago and they were isekai, and that's why they have this background and that's why he's so strong and everything like that.
That kind of sounds like main character energy, sir.
Obviously. Hello.
Oh, geez. Yeah. I come from a long line of people who didn't come here originally. I'm only a little stronger than you all. And
everyone's also able to use magic, apparently, in our village. Yeah. That has actually no name. It's just what we call it.
Yeah. For mundane things, everyday life.
Right. And we just happen to be friends with phantasmal beasts. It's just like that. No one's ever done before. Yeah. All these little like tidbits, all these little things. It's just makes the mind wander, makes you go,
there's something in the water supply that's where I'm going with.
Yeah,
like there's probably a dragon upstream that crapped into the water supply making it magical, and you know they're like down river and they just use it to cook every day, and the dragon's coming by every day because I guess I don't know. Now this is just me spitballing, but maybe they're farmers, maybe they have cattle, maybe they have sheep, maybe they have livestock of some kind. And it's a dragon's favorite kind of food. And there is like an endemic of like sheep going missing or cattle going missing. And you're like, I don't understand what's going on. They're not an advanced enough society where they can have like cameras and whatnot. And every time you let Johnny and all of his friends hang out all night long, one of them goes missing. And, you know, it's that time of year where, you know, you've got, you know, bears and coyotes and stuff like that. So
look,
obviously you can explain it away.
Hey, hang on.
Over here.
Don't forget when Johnny's little brother pissed you off, everyone decided to vote him off and sacrifice him to the great, great dragon down the way too. Okay.
So we don't know that there's a dragon there. Like it could be a dragon crapping in the water. Right.
No, I'm sorry. We're just tying him up against a pole, hoping for the best. When we walk back, Johnny's gone. We don't know exactly what happened.
And more to that point, you know, the dragon, he's thinking that y'all know he's there. And so he's like, thanks for this extra little snack and morsel. It's going to be a nice extra large pile that's going to give you like, who knows? So, I mean, generations of that. And you know they're all having kids, like 13, 14 of them, because it's you know, the likelihood of the child surviving to adulthood is probably less likely than in the Middle East, or not middle, the Middle Ages, mainly because of the bubonic plague and whatnot. But I mean, it not they don't have modern medicine, so there must be a high mortality rate. And if right. a dragon so happens to take one or two, it makes perfect sense. Makes perfect sense.
Except that was just a load of nonsense that just flew out of your mouth, sir.
Well, they got demons here. They got dragons here. So, yeah, might as well have, you know, some super special water supply.
Yeah, sure.
Now, imagine, if you will, okay. that was added to the story. It'd make perfect sense with the time-traveling granddaughters.
It would make perfect sense with the time-traveling vampire-slaying granddaughters. It was right there in between episode, it was in between episode 13, 14. Episode 13, 14, towards the end, after the final episode that you saw, right? You
probably could have missed it. It'd have been no, yeah. It's minor.
It was a 10 second little blip right there. Just easily missed. Easily missed. You blink, yeah, you missed it.
You know, it's one of those things. Unfortunately, you know, what you gonna do?
Not much, you know? Especially since it's only 12 episodes long, and we're talking about something in episode 13.
Yeah, right. It's the OVA. You must have missed it. They did it in sign language, so I mean, it was kind of hard to translate.
Well, you know, I mean, like there is a Latina no Nikki that did come out, and it's 77 episodes long, but each episode's only 16 seconds. So,
oh, okay. You had me there, and you're like, it's a massive amount. We can probably hit it in a day or nine.
No, I mean, like at 16 seconds per episode, I'm pretty sure we can.
Yes, at that point, yeah. Now, how much of that is opening credits? How much is that actual show?
I don't know. But you know what? From what I understand, they were short specials uploaded on their Twitter account. And it's supposed to be Latina actually commenting on her life. And everyone having to be in our life and things like that. So I don't know. I mean, like we could.
That's not much. I'm trying to think back. Sorry for the dead air, but I'm trying to think back. And she doesn't really have any episode where it's an internal monologue. So that might not be a bad idea.
Well, I mean, like this could be an external monologue and she's talking to the imaginary dragon that decided to fly along with her. You know,
I mean, she is the next demon lord. True. Demon lord.
Right.
But no. Right. So one of the going back to actually what happened, one of the things that just made me cry damn near was every time she would in the dub specifically, every time she'd think back to the rainbow and what her father or what her parental figure would say, the dude comes through as a very calming, loving voice. And I'm like, wow, they nailed this voice actor. I don't care what he looks like. They definitely nailed the loving, paternal, gentle, thoughtful, caring words, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, I was like, can you just maybe bring him back to life? Because he sounds like a really awesome guy.
So here, now, to my understanding, we from our discussion in the pre-show, you've seen it mm-hmm. both subbed and dubbed, correct?
Correct.
What did you think of the dubs?
They felt wrong. Now, I can't really tell how, but it was not, I can't really say there'd be anybody better I would know of off the top of my head to voice whoever, but it just sounded off. As it always does, in my personal opinion, in the original, you've got passion. You've got, you know, words that make sense as far as the timing goes. But in the dubbed, if you can find a good quality dub where the mouth moving matches the words being said, that's half the battle. But
it's the reason why that the dialogue never matches up 100% is because they have to change the dialogue to match that movement. So words tend to get taken out, words get added in, changes get made to better fit it. And so sometimes it gets rewritten. So that way that monologue can fit that word or mouth movement. So that way they're not pulling a old school dialogue where the mouth is moving for 20 seconds and you just hear, hi.
Hello. Yeah. Kung Pao into the fifth. I love it.
Yeah, exactly. But so that's why the dialogue never really matches up between the subs and dubs is because sometimes they do have to change the dialogue. So that way it actually matches that mouth syncing. Now, what I will say is, I feel like some of the voice actors just like kind of phoned it in.
Phoned it in. Yeah. Okay. Some of them didn't.
Yeah. Some didn't. Like they had the, like, so take Dale, right? I feel like the English voice actor did great. He actually put forth the effort, and same thing with the voice actor for Latina. But then you have Kenneth and Rita where it just feels like they kind of phoned it in. Same thing with like all the other bar patrons.
Yeah, I can see that. You lack the passion, you know?
Yeah.
Did it occur to you that a lot of the demons looked similar?
I don't get what you're saying. I don't get what you mean.
So we saw what, three demons roughly? We saw the paternal parent, who was obviously dead. We saw the little girl, mm-hmm. and then after Dale's loyalty was put in question, we see someone who looks like an older version of her.
Not quite. Sure, her horns were completely different and the hair color was different. You also meet someone else too on his way back to the village. And I'll tell you this right now. I want to point something out, right? When they're talking about magic and people with magic and how mm-hmm. one person had like rose colored hair and everything like that. She had high magical ability. Latina says it was purple for her, for the dragon or the demon clan for where she's from. It was like purple, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you remember that the person at the pub or at the restaurant they went to that they talked to was a demon had purple hair?
Yo, I never made that connection. Made that connection. That's funny and odd and a plot point that they didn't use.
They didn't use yet.
I'm hoping, but yes, currently yet. They did not use yet.
So
one day, who knows? Like I said, hopefully we'll get a season two, but it's been 3 years and you know, they might no game, no life us, unfortunately.
Indeed. Yeah, no, they totally could do no game, no life and just totally leave it up to you to read. But from my understanding, unlike No Game, No Life, which is still ongoing currently, and they just recently announced a new novel that's coming out for it. This is already completed. Like there's no more novels. Like it's done. I think when the series ended is when the last novel was actually published.
But it wasn't the whole series, right? Like there's still more story to tell.
No. What I'm saying is like, there's no more light novels. Like they published all the light novels. There's still plenty of story out there. There's nine volumes.
I gotcha. Okay. That makes sense. I was going to be like, wait a second. They did not do light novels like this where they would just end up. Where they would just end up and then like open ending for a novel.
Right. Yeah. No, like,
I don't think I've ever seen that.
Let me take a look here. So the series ended September 2019. The last light novel was posted 2019. I'm just saying.
Okay. So there's still hope.
There's plenty of hope considering that they probably only touched on maybe the first light novel for the series for the 12 episodes.
That's it?
I don't know. I'm taking a guess. I'm taking a shot in the dark here. All right.
That'd be kind of cool. You've got plenty of stuff to go off of. You've got a great foundation. I imagine you'd have a decent following for people, but I'm not. You had that before too.
Yeah.
Again, no game, no life.
All right, sir.
Jinx.
I feel like this is a good spot for us to leave with the rating. What about you? You got anything else you want to add to it? You want to enlighten us into any other thoughts you may have?
Well, the one last thing that I thought was kind of interesting was I have a theory as to why she was kicked out of her village.
Well, I'm pretty sure it had to do with, because they made references to fortune telling or the teller of a particular god, and it could be construed one way or the other, and it had to do with her with a fortune specifically involving her. And it could be, depending on how you choose to interpret it, you know, could be.
Well, what was the fortune that she was going to bring down wrath? Well,
that's the thing. We don't know. It depends on. So like how fortunes are typically told, they're meant to be typically in a general fashion. It's supposed to be open and really vague. And then you fill it in with what you want. So for the people, how they chose to interpret it was negative. How her parents chose to interpret it was positive.
Could you imagine if the fortune was this child will bring ruin to this village, and sending her away was the catalyst because Dale goes, oh, you hurt my baby. You must die.
Exactly, right? Or or because we find this out when they're on their way to Dale's hometown, home village, that the first demon lord number one in the village where she's from is killed, and that she was prophesied to be the next demon lord, and they were afraid that she would be a catalyst for destruction, and so they kicked her out.
I like that. I like that a lot.
You know, it's like, oh, she's going to be the demon lord, and they just naturally assume that a demon lord's going to be bad and evil, and so they cast her out and break the horn, hoping that she never comes back and is the demon lord. She ends up coming back.
I mean, it sounds like the villain...
She comes back and she's like totally friendly and she loves everyone. She has like this entire life that she has built and everything like that. And it's all built up around it now because of that. She ends up being a totally badass demon lord.
Demon lord of love.
Exactly.
Care Bear style. Boop, boop. So the last point I've got to say is when I watched it in English, you could almost tell what they were saying when they were casting spells. Yeah. Did you get that? Because it was hard. It was hard to figure out. I spent 10 minutes just over a 5-second clip. Go back. Listen. Go back. Listen. Go back.
Well, that listen, was you that, know? Well, that was the point. You know, it wasn't meant to be like it was meant to be mystical and magical.
True, but I don't know. It was nice. I liked the fact that they just basically flipped in reverse one line and they read it forward and then they flipped it and listened to it backwards and forward at the same time, which is how they were able to get their spells.
Mm-hmm.
But if the spells are that complicated, wouldn't the demon language, which for some reason is the only way you can really, you know, utilize magic, wouldn't that be difficult to understand as well, or to learn?
Well, that's why only certain people can actually do it that are not of a demon. So when they're saying it, they're not actually saying it multiple different ways. They're just channeling the magical energy, and that's just how it sounds to us because they have to make it sound really cool for us. The language of magic is the demon language, and that's what they specifically reference to. The language of magic is the demon language. Every creature has the magical aptitude, but not everyone has the ability to speak or learn the demon language or devil language. And Dale and his clan or his village, everyone's able to because they are particularly adapted to be able to do that. So that's why not everyone can do it. So that's also, they also state that's why not everyone becomes adventurers. And one of Latina's childhood friends, Rudy, he even states when he's like wanting to become a guard, he goes, I can't do magic. I don't have the aptitude for that. So the only thing I can do is become a town guard or a village guard. And so that means you have to be able to use magic to be able to become an adventurer. And this is kind of fortified a little bit too when you have that incident with Latina, mm-hmm. where one of the adventurers comes up, he's like, I can only kind of help slow down the bleeding. I can't really do anything magical beyond that. And that's about it. And everyone's really amazed at her being able to do magic. Aside from the fact her being so young and being able to do magic, she can do magic in general.
Yeah,
because not everyone can do it.
So, very true.
So it's not like, oh, you just need to go to this one school and you'll be able to do magic. It's like, no, you have to have this very particular set of skills and you have to test or be aligned in a very particular way so that way you can do the magic.
Makes sense to me. I think it's time for a rating. What about you?
All right, sir. So on a scale of up to 10, how would you rate this?
So my rating, solid music, solid story. I hope it continues on. I dislike the open ending. I liked the plot a lot. I liked the way it was told. Really good stuff. So I'm going to give it a 9.
All right.
And you?
For me, I'm also going, I'm going to go with, a 10. I'm going with a 10. I loved it. I watched it twice. I watched it twice in the same week.
Jeez. Okay.
I watched it twice in the same week. I loved the music. Beginning, opening, ending. Granted, the ending was open, but it also kind of gave it a resolution at the same time. I feel like, okay, there's no going to be no like catastrophic event and Dale ends up dying and she becomes this evil demonic lord or something like that. It's, they're going to continue on a daily life. They're going to sit there and hold hands and everything like that. It gave it like kind of like a soft open ending, but they finalized it enough to where I feel satisfied with it.
So they gave it an ending with options is basically what you're saying.
Yes.
I mean, we've seen that in the past and you're like, I hate this. I hate this so much.
Yeah. But the give you are total trash. This is just like, it's like, yeah, this is daily life. And do I really need to watch her grow up every single day for the next 50, 60, 100 episodes just for us to get to the point to where she's like, oh, I love you, Dale, or I hate you, Dale, and then move on with her life. And then that's it. No, I don't need to have 100 episodes for that. Would it be nice? Yeah, of course. But I don't feel like it's warranted in this case because of how it's laid out, how all that information's in there. I mean,
so I'm tempted to change.
Feel free to persuade me in going lower.
Well, no, you're almost persuading me to go higher. Almost. Yeah, I got nothing to bring it down for you. Like the point of contention for me would be the open ending, the potential future you got, you know?
Yeah, right. But we've had stories where we've given it a 10 where it's same thing. It's like Take Your Lie in April. We both rated it a 10. It was really great. It was an enjoyable story. And I mean, like, granted, it sucker punches you right in the feels, but we both gave it a 10. And it, I feel like it could be the same way, right? Like, we know that there's going to be more story to it. We know that they're going to continue to grow and everything like that. That it's going to continue on.
You know why Your Lie in April got a 10?
Because it sucker punched you right in the feels and made you cry like you've never cried before.
For any fictional creature, yes. It pushed me to that limit. And a character died. You got to honor that.
True.
Here, the only characters that died were the ones at the end of Dale's sword.
No, not true.
Give me one that we care about that died.
Latina's biological father.
Oh, that's dirty. We never knew him.
We're told about him. And what better way to be introduced to someone's character than my father's been dead. And he told me to stay away from him, from my body, because I will attract animals in my death and I don't want you to get hurt. And what better message to leave your daughter with? Survive. You deserve to be happy. You deserve to be loved. You deserve all this great, wonderful, and positive things. Like,
just not from me.
It's not that, not just not for me. It's like, you deserve all this, but I'm not going to be able to make it. And so he probably literally gave his life to make sure that she survived as long as she did.
I'll think on it. I'm still giving it a 9.
No, that's 100% fine. We obviously reserve the right to amend any scores or choices later on down the line. Obviously. I think
that's the first time we threw that out there, but yes, it is true.
It is 100% true. But I mean, that's why it's the story, the information, the world building, the music, the connection that you have. It's really well done. And would I watch this again? 100%. Yes. I mean, like, I did it twice. I watched it twice. Would I watch it again in English? Sure. No, I would watch it again in subs because I feel like they did a lot better in the subs. than they did in the dubs, but it's something that I actually will actively try and get other people to watch. I thought it was that great. I thought it was that good.
Makes sense.
I know that they could elaborate. I know that they could continue on. I know that there is more story out there, but I am also fine if we actually never got a season two at the same time because of how they ended it.
I mean, I understand where you're coming from. It makes sense with what you say.
Before I think 100%, you're entitled to your own opinion. And, you know, mine just happens to be like higher than yours for a change in an unusual twist, but it's a, you know, hey, we're all, you know, this is why we do it, right? I mean, like, we're allowed to voice our own opinions and have our own
truths.
Next week, all right, is actually not a choice from you or me, which
intentionally. Intentionally.
Oh yeah, no, intentionally. It is not a choice from you or I.
Well, no, what I mean is I'd have never chosen this because the I judge a book by its cover a lot of the time. There's no way I'd ever watch this. But I'm not mad that we are.
I got you. Okay. I got you. I'm
really not mad that we are.
Okay. So the next one we're watching is Rascal Does Not Dream of Bunny Girl Senpai, which was actually recommended to us by CJ in our Discord. And so that'll be next week's choice. And it's I've already started it. I'm enjoying it so far. I hope you enjoy it. Given the kind of information that's out there, I'm pretty sure you will anyways. But that's all that we actually have time for today. If you feel like we got something right, got something wrong, just totally did this way too much justice, and you know, we totally just need to change our scores to ones for this week's choice. Feel free to let us know. Or hey, if you got a recommendation, something you want us to watch, reach out to us. Let us know. Email us, message us on Discord, Facebook. You know, we're available anywhere. FeaturedAnimePodcast@gmail.com, at Those Anime Guys on Twitter, at Featured Anime Podcast on Facebook, Patreon.com/FeaturedAnimePodcast. And also up there, I posted our next seven episodes, actually. So if you want to find out in advance what we're going to be watching, $1 a month will get you that bonus content. Until next time, I'm Jack.
I'm Rick. And we'll see you next time.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.